And we're holding on Samaches on the Bay's seven lines from the bottom. The Mishnah talked about like this. Here in the last few Mishnayos, at the end of the previous parak, we learned about the procedures that are done for a Chata Sa'oif and an Ola Sa'oif. Then the beginning of our parak, we talked about what happens when the Chata Sa'oif and Ola Sa'oif were done wrongly. You did the procedures of one that was supposed to be done for the other, or you did it on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, etc. So the Mishnah had talked about that now like this. The Torah tells, we know that in general, a person can become Tomei from touching or carrying various kinds of sources of Tumah. And in the case of Tumas Mess, also there's Tumas Oil. But then there's a unique kind of, now normally, what happens is, normally with the dinim of Tumah of animals applied basically only to, you have the nevela of a land animal. So you have the dead carcass of an animal, whether a kosher species or a non-kosher one. In the case of a kosher one, if it was died without proper shtita, then it's metame a person by touching and carrying it. You have the shmona shrotzim, the eight little creepy, crawly creatures that also are metame a person by touching or carrying them. Other than that, most kinds of creatures, a person does not become tamei from them. With one exception, there's a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, which the Gemara explains that it, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, that it refers to if a person swallows a kezias or more of nivlas oif tahar, of the carcass of a kosher bird. So you have a kosher bird, a pigeon, a chicken, whatever it is, that died without proper shechita. Then if a person eats a kezias of that, the moment he's swallowing it, he becomes tamei, and whatever he's touching at the time, such as his clothing, also becomes tamei. This is called metame bebeis ablia, that it becomes tamei at the place of the swallowing. So now, our Mishnah had talked about that if a posel person had done malika, then it's a posel. So now, like this, when it comes to birds of korbanos, as we learned in the previous perek, they're killed with malika. They're not killed with shchita. Malika would not otherwise be a valid shchita. When the kohen cuts through the bird's neck with his fingernail, that's not a valid shchita. However, there is a custom that by bird korbanos, this is how it should be done. Ordinarily, that would make the bird nevela. Nevertheless, here, because it's a korban, then the Torah tells us it's not. And in fact, when it's a chatas, when it's a chatas oif, as long as we don't have, now the previous Gemara on some Zayin and Mudbez and some Ches and Aleph have discussed various cases of stakus, various cases where a person brings a chatas because of a suffix, then those are not eaten because we don't know whether the chatas needed to be brought. But in the cases where a person definitely needs to bring a chatas oif, then even though the bird is killed by malika, nevertheless the kohenim eat it. So obviously they don't become tamei eating it because then that's considered the equivalent of a proper shchita. However, our Mishnah had talked about various cases where this metame v'sablia would apply or would not apply. The Mishnah had said that if psulim have done malika, then it's not matamu v'sabliya, because it's called psuloi bakodesh. Even though it was a zor, or whatever kind of posel, the Gemara discusses over here, that did the malika, nevertheless, that's good enough to make it that's not considered an avela, and it's not matamu when a person swallows it. Similarly, the Mishnah had said, various other cases, if he did malika with his left hand, he has to do it with his right hand, or by night, or it was chulin, or the bird was chulin, or it was kodshim, and he did it outside the Beis Mikdash, all those cases, enim etam of Beis Ablia. On the other hand, the Mishnah had gone through a number of cases where it is metam of Beis Ablia. The Mishnah had established the general rule that it depends whether psuloi bakodesh or not psuloi bakodesh. What the definition of psuloi bakodesh is machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about what exactly is the definition of psuloi bakodesh. Rashi explains it was brought to the Azara kosher, and then it became posel afterwards with its avodas. Tosfos discusses and has several problems with that explanation and gives a couple of other possibilities. One is that it means that it's something that would be kosher for a different korban, just not for this one. For example, let's say a korban was shechted in the wrong part of the Azara, so it's called psuloi bakodesh in the sense other kinds of korbanos would be perfectly kosher in that part of the Azara, just this one is not. So that would be a different definition of psuloi bakodesh. And then, And then, another answer Tosfos gives is that Psula B'Kodesh means that it became posel after the blood was already received in a keli. So the Mishnah makes a distinction between Psula B'Kodesh and not. When Psula B'Kodesh, according to these various definitions, then the bird isn't, even though the bird is not a kosher korban, nevertheless, it's not metame, this tumor of a person swallowing it. When it was not Psula B'Kodesh, then it is metame, a person who swallows it. So now, the Gemara had started a discussion that which psulim are metamer vesablia and which not. Rav had said that in particular, if a zur does the malika, or various other kinds of psulim, or if it was done with a knife rather than with a kohen's fingernail, then it is considered an avela to the extent that it's metamer vesablia. And the Gemara had dealt with how Rav would understand our Mishnah and why there should be that distinction. Then the Gemara had said that Rabbi Yochanan had said that no, that is, there's a difference between a zur and a knife. If a zur does the malika, then it still saves it from being the tamer besabliya. But if it was done with a knife instead of the kohen's fingernail, and now therefore, so it's neither malika nor shchita. It's not malika because it's not with the fingernail. It's not shchita because shchita has to be done from the front of the neck, because first the pipes are cut, then you cut through the spine and the spinal cord, and not the other way around. So here it's neither shchita nor malika, and therefore it's tamer besabliya. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rav both agree on that. Machlokas is as far as a zor. Rav holds that if a zor did malika, then it is metamer besablia, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that not. So the Gemara says, let's go through and try to bring proofs one way or the other. Tnan, we said in our Mishnah, kol psulim shemolkum likasim psulah. The Mishnah had said that all psulim who did malika, then the malika is posel. So b'shleim a little bit. So why did it say kol psulim? So b'shleim lo Rabbi Yochanan kol asur yizor. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's easy to understand. The word kol in the Mishnah means to include a zor. So we shouldn't just think that it means psulim. Like for example, if the kohen was tomei or balmum or whatever, it also includes a zor. El ol Rav kol isur yimai. But according to Rav, what is the word kol coming to include? And the answer is lovely suya. So called isuya. Lovely isuya smell the lila. Wouldn't it? So the Gemara says, well, why? What's the problem? Maybe it's coming to include if it was done by night, if it was done with the left hand, or if it was done by night. The word lav over here doesn't really belong over here. Lav would be the Gemara asking as a rhetorical question. Isn't it coming to include? But no, that's not what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara is just asking what is it coming to include according to Rav, and the Gemara attempts to answer that it means it's coming to include if the malika was done with the left hand, with his left hand, or if it was done by night. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, smil v'layla, the hedyah katoni, the Mishnah clearly mentions those. So according to Rav, why would the word kol psulin have to include that? And the answer is fine. You could say tonu v'hodim mafarish. You could say that the Mishnah first mentions it briefly by hinting with the word kol, and then it spells it out and says which psulim are, and says which psulim. So now Rashi actually points out that according to Rav, that a zur is metamer v'sablia, then really it would include all the other psulim as well. So according to now, the Gemara would have to be saying that the kol means only cases where the kohen himself is completely kosher, but he did it with his left hand, or he did it by night. But the answer, the Gemara's answer in Tonu V'Hodim Mefarish, it could be that the Mishnah is just using the word kol to hint to this point, and then it's going and then spelling it out in more detail. So the Mishnah is not a contradiction to God. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Mishnah continues, Zaflau, Koshohi, Psul, Kodesh. The general rule is that whenever the Psul was in the Kodesh, which again, we have three different definitions of what that means. According to Rashi, it means that it came to the Azara Kosher and afterwards became Psul, which is, in this case over here, it was brought to the Azara, but then Azara did the Malika instead of a Koyan. According to Tosfos, it can mean that the blood was already received in a Keli, would be called Psul of HaKodesh, as opposed to the Psul happened before that. And according to the other answer of Tosfos, it means something which would be kosher in other contexts, just not here. So, if we say, the Mishnah says, kol shahoyah psul of HaKodesh, anything where the psul was in the Kodesh, enim matamah begodim abeis avliya, then the carcass of that bird is not matamah a person when he swallows it. So now, why does it have to say kol shoyim silver kodesh? What does that word kol come into add? Bishleimel Rabbi Yochanan kol leisui zor. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the word kol comes to include the case of the zor. That that after all, now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we've touched on it over and over in various places, but we're going to get into greater detail about it in the ninth parak about the concept of im olo lo yered. We have certain things. Again, it depends. In large part, it depends on this question of psula b'kodesh, that if the diyevet was placed on the mizbeach, then you don't take it down from there. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then, even though a zor is malika, is not really considered a malika, but nevertheless, it's good enough that it's considered psula b'kodesh, and therefore it will stay on the mizbeach if you put it there b'diyevet. So therefore, shakoli isui zor. So it comes to include the zor and say that nevertheless, because his korban at least has, because the bird that he did malika to at least has enough of a connection to the mizbeach that him olo lo yered. Therefore, it's also not matame b'godim when a person swallows it. Elo l'rav l'isui yamai. But according to Rav, what is the word kol coming to include? According to Rav, who says that a zor's malika will be matamid beis avliyah. So why doesn't it say kol shoyeb silu b'kodesh? What is that word kol adding? So the Gemara answers v'litai meich. Well, according to your svara that you're asking the question, you have to ask shaloi hayim silu b'kodesh leisvimai. New, the Mishnah also says that anything that was not silu b'kodesh, then it is matamid begodim beis avliyah. So you could ask the same thing. Why does it have to add that part? So what would be added by that? Rather, what you're going to say is reisha leisuyah shchitas kodesh b'fnim. The reisha, when it says kol in the reisha of that rule, means to include the case where it was kodeshim and it was shechted inside the azara. So malika wasn't done at all, and in fact, it's so far away from the mizbeach that im ola yered, such a thing, if you took it up to the mizbeach, you would actually take it down. And it's not a shchita because the definition of shchita is to do it from the front of the neck, and here it was done from the back. And it's not a malika because malika is done with the fingernail, and here it was done with a knife. But in any case, the point is that you would say the first part is coming to include what was shechted b'fnim. So it's not matamir beis abliya because after all it was shechted, as the Gemara is going to show soon why that is. So the sefer would include the case where malika was done, but the bird was chulin and it was done outside the azara. So then it's matamir beis abliya because then it has nothing to do at all with the mizbeach because it was outside the azara and it wasn't even a bird of kodshim, it was a bird of chulin. Now we should mention over here in this connection that in these dafim, beginning from the Mishnah that we learned yesterday and going all the way for about the next 10 blot, we have what's printed by the side of the Gemara over here under Rashi's name in the usual place where Rashi is, which in fact it seems is not from Rashi, it's from some other Rishon. You have on the side over here Rashi Ksav Yad. We have that here and there in Shas. We're going to have that again in Menachos in a few places. We had it in Bava Basra with Rashbam in a couple of places. For some reason, it seems that sometimes the printers of the early editions of Shas didn't always have the correct version of Rashi in front of them. In this case, the Shita Mukubetzes, who lived a generation or two later, who lived about in that generation, found manuscripts that had the original version of Rashi, and it's printed on the side of it here. So now, Rashi on the side of it here, this Rashi Ksav Yad explains that in fact, the Gemara at this point doesn't really need to mention cholin b'chutz specifically. You have other examples as well. It could also be, for example, you have cases like reveya v'nirva, where the animal was used for bestiality, or where it was designated for avodah zarah, or various other cases like that, where it's not psul b'kodesh. Plus, also you have a number of ones that were mentioned in the Mishnah, including various cases. Where there are major mumim, limbs missing in the bird, which makes it possible. The Gemara is mentioning specifically cholin b'chutz because the Mishnah mentioned it. So therefore, it's just continuing on that theme of something the Mishnah mentioned. But the point is, in other words, we can say that the Mishnah is not coming to include the case of a zor; it's coming to include these other kinds of cases that are not considered psulei b'kodesh. So no contradiction on Rav from our Mishnah. However, the Gemara says, So our Gemara says, Tanya Kava Sevi Rav Yochanan, we do have a Braisa that agrees with Rav Yochanan's version that a Zor does Malika, then it is Matame Begadim. The Braisa says, Molka Zor, Molka Apostle, if a Zor or Apostle, such as a Balmum, did the Malika, or in the case of a bird korban that became pigle or noser, or pigle and noser we learned extensively about earlier in our Masechta, or the meat of it became tome, ein matame, abes ablia, all those things are not matame when the person swallows it. Because all of those things have cases. All those ones had a shas heter. All of those, either in the case of pigul noser and tomei, they all had. Well, so let's see. So when it was a zoro balmum is because they would be kosher by a bummer. Because they're kosher to do shchita, and also they're kosher to do the avoda by a bummer. Different mafoshim talk about which one are we actually learning from, but the point is that, again, this is an example, because it's kosher in one context, then therefore it's good enough to prevent it from being, it's good enough to, even though here it was melita and not shchita, nevertheless, that's good enough to save it from this tumah of nivlasa oifatar, of a dead non-kosher bird. That's by the zor or the posel. Pigul nosim and tome, is that all of those, the fact is, the avoda of a korban was done with them, and therefore that's good enough to save them from, even though they're also to eat, and they're also to burn on the mizbeach, nevertheless, the fact is, an avoda was done to them, and therefore that's good enough, therefore, Rashi Ksaviyad says, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, it becomes officially pigul, and in the case of noiser, it's left over beyond the time, and it becomes officially noiser, so nevertheless, that's good enough to save it from this tumma of matame begadim. So that braisa says exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the zor does malika, then it's not matame abes abliya, it saves it from this tumma of nivlas oif. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shamaiti Shtayim. So Rabbi Yitzchak says in this connection, I have heard two halachas regarding psulim that did the avoda of a korban. Achas kmitzas zor, v'achas malikas zor. One was the case where zor did the kmitza of a mincha, and one was the case where zor did the malika of a bird. Achas tered, v'achas lo tered. I learned from my rebbeim, says Rabbi Yitzchak, there's one of them where it has to be taken off the mizbeach, even b'dieved, it was placed on there, and the other one at least has enough of a connection to the mizbeach that it can stay on there even though it's possible. The lawyer Dinah, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't know which one was which. So let's figure out. Amachizkiya, Misabra Kmitza Tered, Malika Loy Tered. It's more logical to say that the Kmitza will have to be taken off the Mizbeach, even B'dieved, if the Kmitza was done by a Zor, where the Malika B'dieved will not be taken off. It's true that a Zor shouldn't have done it, and it is considered, it's not a kosher korban. However, and according to Rav, it will even be Matamim B'godim Abbeis Abliya, nevertheless, it's more logical to say that it won't come off the Mizbeach B'dieved once you put it there. Why? Maishna Malika Diyeshna Babama. Well, let's consider why. You're going to say that if a Zor does Malika, the reason it stays on a Mizbeach is because when it comes to a Bama, then a Zor can do the Avoda by a Bama. You don't have by a private Mizbeach during the periods of Jewish history when that was allowed. Then you didn't necessarily need a Koyin to do the Avoda by a Bama. So you could say, therefore, even over here, even though it's in the Bais Mikdash, and a Zor has no business doing it, nevertheless, it's good enough for it to stay on the Mizbeach. The question is, Kmitza Nami Yeshna B'Bama, where you could ask the same thing, Kmitza. If a person brings a Mincha by a Bama, wouldn't the same thing apply? That if it's not going to be possible because a Zor is able to do it. V'chitema Ein Mincha B'Bama, you're going to answer that a mincha is not brought on a Bama in the first place. At the end of the Masechta, when we talk about all the dinim of bamas, we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda says over there that a mincha cannot be brought on a bama. Well then, whichever opinion holds that, it's also going to hold that birds are never brought to the korban by a bama. As in fact, the Amar of Sheshes, as Rav Sheshes says, the Divra Oma Yesh Mincha B'Bama, the opinions that say that a Mincha can be brought on Bama, the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda, they hold also Yesh Oifus B'Bama, that birds can also be brought on a Bama. the divra in mincha, and the opinion that says a mincha cannot be on a bama ain't ofus. There can't be birds. My timer, what would be the reason? Why would a mincha and birds be considered the same? Because where bechlal do we learn that it's possible to bring korbanos on a bama? So we actually learn from right before Matan Torah, where Moshe had the bechurim bring korbanos. Now it's true, this is before the Mishkan was built. But at that point, bamas are allowed. So until the Mishkan was built, you could bring korbanos anywhere. Therefore, this mizbeach that they built there by Har Sinai and offered korbanos is considered a bama. And the pasuk mentions, Rashi Ksav Yad explains, that the pasuk says that they brought olas and shlomim. So we see that olas and shlomim can be brought on a bama, but so this opinion holds. Therefore, mincha, based on that, we have no source to say that you can bring a mincha on a bama. Well, very well, it doesn't say that they brought birds there either. So according to that, then, it would mean that that birds cannot be brought on a bama either. So we're back to the question, why should it be? Rabbi Yitzchak's Rebbeim told him that there's that one of these two cases would be tered, we take it off the mizbeach, even to the other. And the other one not, why would there be the difference? If it's a matter of them being kosher by a bama, either both of them are kosher or both of them are posel. There's no in between. Because the pasuk says zvachim v'loy menachas, zvachim v'loy ofes. The pasuk says that they brought korbanos, that they brought animal korbanos, implying they did not bring menachos, and animal korbanos implying that they did not bring birds. So we see that they can't bring those, that according to the opinion that says you can't bring one on a bama, then you can't bring the other one either. Achronim talk about that the question basically comes down to, Achronim discussed the question, was that bama considered to have the status of are they still considered, this is right before Matan Torah, are they still considered b'nei noyach, or at this point already are they considered b'nei Yisrael? B'nei noyach, the Gemara mentions later in the Masechta, that they can bring whatever they want. They can bring birds on a mizbeach. So just because it doesn't mention that they brought birds over here doesn't mean they're not allowed to. So maybe at this point it's considered like a bama of Yisrael, and therefore again that it would mean, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, they can't bring menachos or birds on it. Another possibility, actually, Rashi himself, towards the end of the Masechta, says that the Gemara is actually referring, when the Gemara says over here the words, zvachim, the Gemara says over here the word zvachim, and we're learning from this, it's actually referring to a different pasuk, which is referring to the time when they were in the Midbar after the Mishkan was built, that they can't bring korbanos anywhere outside the Mishkan, but the pasuk uses the word zvachim, implying according to that opinion that anything other than zvachim you can't bring on a bama even during times when bama samulter. In any case, back to the question, what's the difference between kmitzah and melika then? So the Gemara says, fine, Ela Ema, rather the reason for the difference is, Ein Kiddush B'Kli Shores B'Mincha B'Bama. Because the difference is that when it comes to a mincha, fine, according to an opinion, there is an opinion that says you can bring a mincha by a bama, but there's no concept of using a Kli Shores over there. A mincha, after you do the kmitza, you're supposed to, you have to put the koimetz into a Kli Shores. Now, and by bama, you don't have that whole concept. So now, in the Beis HaMikdash, though, where it does have to be placed in a Kli Shores, so then, when Zohar does that, then it becomes possible. And you can't say there's any exception to that, where you can say where it's kosher, because by bama, you have no concept of putting the koimetz in a keli in the first place. So that would be a logical reason to say that if the Zohar in the Beis HaMikdash did kmitza, it will be so possible that in olatera, that if it went up on them, as if you put it up on the mizbeach, you take it down, whereas by the melika, you don't have that, because according to this opinion, fine, you could bring both menachos and birds, but when it comes to the mincha, you have a unique feature, a kli shoris that you have in the bismikah, which you don't have by a bama. So that's that then. So again, to recap, we had a machloikas, whether in the case where Zohar does malika, whether the dead bird is matame a person when he swallows, according to Rav, yes, according to Rav Yochanan, no, we brought a braisa according to Rav Yochanan, and we in addition pointed out that if a Zohar does the malika, then the Dieved will leave the bird on the Mizbeach and we won't take it down from here. Okay. The Mishnah continued, Molak b'smol o b'layla chola, that if the person did malika with his left hand or by night. So we said that that also, even though it's possible, because korbanos have to be brought by day and they have to be done with the right hand, nevertheless, it saves it from having this tumas neveva. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, how do we know this? Yochol tehen malika, shehi lefnim, metam of gonim abeis abliya. You would think, to begin with, let's say, so let's, before we talk about posel korbanos, we'll explain in a second, actually. So the braisa says you would think that malika that was done inside the azara would be in the time of the garden when a person swallows it. Now Rashi Ksav Yad says the Gemara is not talking about where the malika was done properly, because then obviously then we learned earlier in the Masechta from a pasuk that says that the kohen and eat a chatas ha'oif, and by definition a chatas ha'oif is killed by malika, and obviously therefore you're not going to say. Yeah, obviously you're not going to say that that he's going to eat it, that he's going to eat it in the Bais HaMikdash, and he's going to become tamei from it. Obviously that's not going to happen. So therefore Rashi explains that no, what we mean is that the question is if it was posel, as in we're saying over here, it was done with the left hand or by night or whatever. How do we know that it's not matamid? How do we know that it's not matamid? That even so, even though it's posel, the regular Rashi printed over here in the place of Rashi explains that we're talking about also not just that, we're also talking about an oilas ha'oif. It's true, we're talking about a posel, a kohen that's posel, but we can also be talking about an oilas ha'oif. After all, we didn't learn before that the kohenim eat it. They don't, because after all, it's an oila, it's supposed to be burned. But nevertheless, the question would also be how we know if a person was over and ate it that he wouldn't become tamei. Talmud Loimar said like this, because the Pasuk that talks about this concept of eating Nevela and becoming Tomei, which is where we learn this concept where a person eats the Nevela and of the bird and becomes Tomei, the Pasuk uses the word Nevela. So the Braisa says, so we learn from that that it means that if Malika was done, then even though the bird was Pasul, or even though we're talking about an Oila, then nevertheless it's not a problem. So Gemara says, wait a minute, before we continue the braisa, wait a minute, honami nevela. The fact is, it is nevela. The fact is that the malika was not done properly because the malika was done by night or with the left hand or whatever. So why indeed should we say that it's not matami? Just because it says nevela, the fact is it is nevela. Rather, what the braisa means to say is, because the pasuk doesn't just mention nevela, it mentions shreifa as well. The expression in the pasuk is, any person who eats nevela or trefa, then his clothes are going to become tamei. This is the matam of godim that we're talking about throughout this whole sugya. So now the point is that it doesn't just say nevela; it says trefa. Now the fact is, we're going to learn in the next mishnah, and we're going to learn on Omer Beis that if the bird is trefa, then that does not actually. If it's shefa, then that's not enough to. But it was shechted properly. It's not necessarily going to be the time of God in my base of Leah. You need to. We'll see on our days that we're going to see a machlokas on that point. Why does the pasuk mention shefa? We learn from it. Ma shefa shein materas asa iser. When a bird is shefa, then it doesn't make anything. It doesn't make an isru mutter. You don't say. The fact that the bird is shefa, it remains osir. So in other words, like this. You don't say. In other words, because the bird became shefa, therefore something that was mutter before now, if something that was osir before now becomes mutter, obviously not. The same way we learn from that, when do we say that it's metame, the person, is when there's no heter for the iser. Yotza malika, as opposed to when there was malika, shehi lifnim, which is done inside the azara. So even if the bird was posel for some other reason, or even as regular Rashi says over here, is because we're talking about an oila and there's no heter to eat it anyway. But at least hovi materas is a isur. It does make the isur mutter for the mizbeach, namely as we just said, because im olola yered, because you leave it on the mizbeach if you put it there. Therefore, ein. In the time of God, my base ablia. Therefore, it's not matame the person's the person and his clothing when he swallows it. So that's how we learn that when the malika was done, even if it was with the left hand or by night or whatever, where it's possible, nevertheless, it still saves it from this tumma. So the braisa continues heavy. So now we can bring
What's
in from
the
that.
Say
what?
What's the reason why it says it from being tummy?
Because what we're saying is, the general rule is, if the bird had just died without proper shita, then it would be metamed. But because in this case, now malika usually would make the bird nevela. When it comes to korbanos, malika is an exception, and malika is the proper thing to do. Here, even though the malika was done in a way that is possible, namely it was done at night, or it was done with the left hand, or whatever, nevertheless, it still saves it from this tumas nevela. And that we learn now from the word Shreifa, that the point is, in other words, when would you say it's metame, is when you have the fact that it's nevela does not take away any other is. A normal case, a bird is alive, it's also because Adam and I, and then if it dies without proper shchita, then it's also because you can't eat it.
So you're saying that when a malika makes a bird treifa because it wasn't done properly.
Not when the malika makes the bird treifa. When the malika accomplishes something as far as that, now you're able to do something with the bird that you weren't able to before. Namely, in the case of a fully kosher malika, then it makes it. In the case of an ola, it makes it that now it's a kosher ola. And in the case of a chatas, it makes it not only it's a kosher chatas, but now the kohenim will be able to eat it. But even when the bird was posel, or even when the malika was possible, as we're giving the example over here, where, for example, it was done by night or with the left hand, where as a malika, as a korban, it's possible because korbanos have to be done with the right hand and by day, nevertheless, that malika is accomplishing something for the bird, namely, as we just said in the previous piece of Gemara, im ola lo yered, that if it was b'dieved, place on the mizbeach, we won't take it down from there, and therefore that is good enough to also save it from tumas nevela.
So what's the point of bringing the word treifa and
that's
using it?
If we didn't have the word treifa, we would say every time that the bird becomes nevela, then it would be matame. So fine, maybe as Rashi Ksaviad says, fine, maybe we wouldn't include a bird that was a fully kosher korban, because there we already had a limud earlier in the Masechta that the kohenim can eat it. But we would have thought any time something goes wrong with the malika, then it's right away matame. But the word treifa tells us that not. The word treifa tells us only when becoming nevela did not accomplish anything as far as the fitness of this bird for some purpose of kedusha.
How do you reckon that?
That's what it means. It's because it says treifa, and treifa, it doesn't mean in and of itself that if the bird is treifa, then it's metame, as we're going to talk about on Omer Beis. So instead, we use that treifa. We use it almost as like a binyan al. We're saying that the by definition, if a bird becomes treifa, it doesn't add any heter to it that it didn't have before. The same way the nevela would have to be, when is it matame as a nevela? Only when becoming nevela did not add any heter to what it had before. But because in this case it does add a heter, namely im ola lo yered, then therefore it's not matame. That's the flow of it. So now the Braisa continues, heavy. So now we can add, based on that, a number of cases. Hamoilet, and the Gemara interjects, Kotz Chefet Simen, Kates Chefet Simen. You have a Simen for five cases that I'm going to mention here. Kodshim Bachotz. The first case is where a person does Malika on Kodshim, but he does it outside the Azara. So it's going to be possible, because the fact is, it's gone outside the Azara, so it's no good. Nevertheless, we're saying that, again, it still helps it as far as a certain din, because again, we're going to be bringing five cases where it's not helping. There's no iser that is being mutter by this malika, and therefore they will be metam and begotim besavliya. So the first one is kodshim bachutz. If he did kodshim outside the azara, they do not become kosher even b'dieved to put on the mizbeach, and if they did put this bird on the mizbeach, we would still take it down. So therefore, it's matam b'gadim ha'beis avliya. You can't say, in other words, in this case, that the action that made it nevela, namely the malika, is taking away any iser. It does not. The same iser that there was to place it on a mizbeach before still exists now. Similarly, umoylet chulin bein mifnim bein machutz. The next two cases are if the bird is chulin, whether inside the azara or outside it. It's not really five cases. Kodshim b'chutz, that the kuf and the tzaddik, and then ches tzaddik, stands for chulin, pnim, and chutz. So two cases where it was kodshim and it was done outside, or three cases really. Kodshim outside, chulin inside or outside, Those are not matir, any isser, because in all those three cases, we're going to say him, all the yev. Therefore, matamim gonim, abesavliya, therefore the bird will be so, therefore the bird will be fully nevela to the extent where now a person eats it, and where a person swallows it, then he will, then he and his clothing will become tame. That's what we're saying. In other words, the Braisa is telling us, how do you know what kind of malika is going to make the person tame and what kind not? You have to consider what happens after such a malika. Is it kosher to go on a mizbeach or to be eaten by the Kohanim? If yes, then that malika saves it from having too much nevela, and if not, then not. So now, when it comes to when it was done with the left hand or at night, since those are examples of ololo yered, therefore, then there are also examples of it not becoming tome, of not being matame.
So if that malika still allows that carbon to be on the mizbeach, it's not matame. That's how we do it.
That's what we're saying. Yes, that's what the Braisa is saying. Yeah.
And what do we get that from?
That's what we're getting that from the fact that the pasuk mentions treifa. We would get it. Didn't need to mention treifa legufoy, because we're going to talk about on Omer Bey that the word treifa is really extra in the pasuk, and therefore it's teaching us this limud. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanya Edach. We learn in another Braisa. You would think that if a chulin bird was shechted inside the azara, the kodshim bein mufnim bein machutz, or kodshim that was shechted, not malika, that was shechted, whether inside or outside the azara, you would think that they are metame abeis avliya, that they're also metame the person when he swallows them, because they're all possible. The chulin is chulin ba azara, and it was shechted anyway. And the kodshim also because it was shechted, rather than having malika done. So you would think all of those cases are also metame when a person swallows it. No. So therefore, Talmud Leiman Nevela. Again, the Pasuk says Nevela, and again, the Gemara interjects. What exactly are we trying to learn from this word Nevela? So the question is, Bonami Nevela. The fact is, it is Nevela. What are you being memayat from that word Nevela? So again, Ela Talmud Leiman Tereza, same as the previous Braisa. We have to correct it and say the Braisa did not mean to just quote the word Nevela. It meant we didn't quote the word Tereza. And we're going to learn a different thing. This Braisa is going to use that word treifa, which again is extra in the pasuk. We're going to use it to learn a different concept. Ma treifa shava b'befnim hivachutz. A treifa has the same exact issue inside the azara or outside, because it doesn't matter where the bird became treifa. Either way, it's also to bring it as a korban, and a person is not, and you're not allowed to offer it, and if it's a chatas, the korban are not allowed to eat it. Afkol b'fnim kabachos. The same way, any case of nevela has to be something that would be equally possible inside the azara as outside. Yotza shchitas chulin b'fnim. Therefore, that excludes where the bird was chulin and was shechted in the azara. It's true, it's possible because it's chulin and was shechted rather than malika. But the fact is, the same exact procedure done outside the azara would be perfectly fine. It's a kosher bird. It's chulin. You did a proper shchita. What's the problem? So therefore, so even though that was done in the azara, it's not in that sense like trefa, which is the same as inside as outside. So therefore, so that excludes chulin b'fnim, the kodshim bein b'fnim bein b'machutz, or when it comes to kodshim, whether inside or outside the azara, hoyo v'leshovu b'fnim k'machutz, because they're not the same inside and outside because in all those cases, the same exact action will be kosher in one place and possible in another, then therefore those are not in the category of the tam of God and beis avliya. So in other words, the first Braisa was telling us, we learned from Treifa, that anytime the Malika takes away an Isur, then it's not Matam of Gadim. The second one is telling us, in addition, anytime when the Shchita is something that would have been, anytime when the killing of the bird is something that would have been kosher in a different place, then it's also not Matam of Gadim of Beis Abriya. So the Gemara says, Vatsi, the Shlema, Cholin Lo Shavu Rufnim Kavachot. Okay, well, sure, we can understand that Cholin are not the same inside and outside, because the fact is, if you shechted a Cholin bird outside the Azara, it would be perfectly fine. So therefore, you can say, even if it was done with Nim, then it's not going to be Metame. Ewa Kodshim, but the question is, what do you mean Kodshim is not the same inside as outside? Aydiv Aydiv Sulaninu. The fact is, if you take a bird of Kodshim, whether you shecht it in the Azara, whether you shecht it outside the Azara, it's equally possible. Because if it was inside the Azara, you were supposed to do Malika. And if it was outside the Azara, you have no business killing it there in the first place. Omar Rava. So Rava answers like this. Im ho'ilolo shchitas chutz v'chai v'kodes. Because shefting the bird outside the Azara accomplishes this. It now makes the person chai of kodes. Because you have at the end of the Masechta, when we deal with the whole matter of the last two prokim of our Masechta, we're going to be dealing in very in great detail with this whole matter of Shchut Echutz. And the basic idea is any korban that was supposed to be brought inside the Azara and now is being shechted outside the Azara, a person is Chayav Koras for that. Well, therefore, if shechting, now again, you have a Kodshim bird, it's supposed to have Malika done to it, not Shchita. Nevertheless, if a person shechts it outside the Azara, it's effective enough for him to be Chayav Koras for that. Therefore, Rava says, the logic is, shouldn't that shchita at least be effective enough to also make it that it doesn't have tumas nevela anymore? Okay, so therefore, by that logic, yes, if you took a kodshim bird and shechted it outside the Azara, so a person will be chayav kodesh for that, for precisely for that reason, that at least saves it from tumas nevela. However, the Gemara says, fine. Well, then Ashkechon bifnim, Ashkechon chutz, fine. That takes care of the case where it was shechted outside. Pnim minol, and how do we know if it was shechted in the Azara? After all, in the Azara, you can't say that. He's not chayv kodesh for shechting it in the Azara. Why shouldn't it be metamim vodim? And the answer is, that goes back to what we said before, because now it's not the same inside as outside. Once we have Rava's Svara about where it's shechted outside, that shchita accomplishes something negative, it makes him chayiv kares, but also something positive, that it saves the bird from the bela. Well, now, if he shechts inside the Azara, then it's not the same anymore. Then the limud that we said before is that you have to have something which is the same inside and outside, and now you don't anymore, because now inside, because now outside he'll be chayiv kares, and it'll be kosher, and therefore inside you can't say that it'll be possible, because then you can't say that. Rather, outside we're saying it won't be metame, therefore you can't say that inside it's metame, because then it won't be the same anymore. So the Gemara says, "Yehochti molach kodesh machutz nami deleshavu ki b'fnim kavachutz." Well, then, by the same logic, if he does the malika outside the azara, we should say the same thing. The fact is that it's not the same, because inside the azara it would have been kosher, and outside instead he's chayav kodesh. And nevertheless, we're saying if malika was done outside, then it is metame. What's the difference? The answer is Amr of Shin Ra'achi, done in Dover Shalai Behachshere, Midover Shalai Behachshere. Because we're going to learn something that was not done according to the proper way that would make it kosher from another thing that was done not with the proper kashrus. Namely, where it was shechted inside the Azara, that's no good. You're supposed to do Malika. So therefore, we can logically learn that from something else where it was shechted outside, where again it was supposed to have Malika done inside. So therefore we can say that the same rule applies to both of them, and we're gonna say therefore that we learn one from the other, and neither of them are matame. The ain't done in Dover Shalai Be'achshere, Dover Shalai Be'achshere. But you can't learn something which is not the proper way from something that is the proper way. The fact is Malika inside is the proper way that you're supposed to do. Because your malika of a korban is supposed to be done inside the Azara. So Rav Shimon bar Ashi is saying, you can't therefore now go and say, you want to learn malika that was done outside from that, and say it should have, and say it has to be the same thing, and therefore if it's not metame in one case, it can't be metame in the other. No, because the big difference between them, one of them is the kosher way of doing it, and the other one is the posel way of doing it. When it comes to shchita, posel either way, because the brutal way to have malika, then you can learn one from the other. But not when it's not malika, that's the proper way from malika outside the Azara, which is not the proper way.
That's a pure rationalization. That's exactly what we need,
is a rationalization over here. We need a logical basis to say that it should apply in certain cases and not apply in other cases. So we're going to say we have this rule based on the word treifa from the second braisa. We're going to use this rule that says that the word treifa teaches us it has to be shavu v'fnim kabachutz. What we're going to say, what does that apply to? when both of them are posel, then we can learn one from the other. But when one of them is kosher and the other one is posel, then we don't care whether it's the same b'fnim machutz. Then we can say it doesn't. Then we can say that one of them, when it's done b'fnim, which is kasher, the proper way of doing it, will not be matame for obvious reasons. You're not going to have that the malika was done on the bird and now it's going to be matame. The malika was done. The bird is a kosher korban and now it's going to be matame. You're obviously not going to say that. So therefore, on the other hand, we can say that if it was done outside, where outside is not the place for malika, then it can still be matamim gadim.
The Braisa doesn't say that.
The Braisa didn't spell that out, but that's the job of the Gemara, is to spell such things out. The Braisa just said that wherever you have it, shava kibifnim kibachutz. So the Braisa said when it's shechted inside, when chulin is shechted inside, or kodshim are shechted inside or outside, those are three cases where it's not shava b'fnim kibachutz. Because again, shechting chulin b'fnim is not shava b'fnim kibachutz. Because b'chutz, it would be appropriately kosher a chulin bird, and it's not matame. Kodshim bein b'fnim bein machutz. So that's the Gemara had asked. They're both possible, but the answer is again, Rava's svara, that when it's shechted outside, then a person is chayiv paris. So therefore, so now we can compare it. But when it comes to malika, then it's different because malika inside is actually, it has a unique feature unlike all these other ones, namely that it's the kosher way of doing it. So therefore, so we don't care. So the Braisa's rule about it has to be the same with b'fnim kibachot was never meant to apply to that. It applies only across all the cases of psulim. So the Gemara finishes off. Wait. Valoi, you're telling me that we never learn something that's not from not done the proper way from something that is done the proper way. Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa. Minayin leyotze. How do we know that if a murim of a korban were taken out of the azara, which and become posel, shim olo leyere, that nevertheless if they're placed on the mizbeach to be ever, we don't take them off. Shahare yotze kosher b'blama, because we find. Again, when it comes to a bama, one of the rules that you have by the Beis Mikdash, that you don't by the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash, that you don't have by a bama, is the concept of having a chotzer, the concept of having a demarcated area inside which the kodshim have to remain, or in particular the emurim have to remain. By a bama, you don't have that. So if you take the emurim out of the area of the bama, before you bring them on, before you offer them on the bama, no problem, because there's no concept of yotze over there. Therefore, the Braisa is saying, even by the Beis Mikdash, even though they will become posel, nevertheless, we'll still apply him olo lo yerin. Now, by a bama, that's behechshere, because by a bama, that's perfectly allowed to do even like a chila. By korbanos, we're saying that makes them posel. And so we see that we are learning javar shebehechshere, and so we are learning javar from Dover Shabbat Shere. So what are you telling me you can't learn that way? And the answer is Tana Azois Torah Ola Riba Samachle. Because the Tana of this Braisa is not really relying on the distinct in that case, when we say about Yotze, it's not really because it's kosher by a bama. It's rather because the Torah says, Zois Torah Sa'ola, this is the Torah of the things that go up on the Mizbeach. Riba samachlei. Therefore, the Torah is being marban, adding that Tana azos Torah sa'ola riba samachlei. The Tana is relying on the fact that the Torah is marba with the word zos Torah sa'ola, that many things that go up on the mizbeach have the same Torah. So the zos is a miut, and we say that there are certain things that are excluded, as we're going to learn in the ninth keren. But the point is, therefore. Because of that, the basic rule, again, is going to be, as we talked about before, that it's going to depend whether psula b'kodesh or not, how we define psula b'kodesh, but the point is, here the emurim, everything was kosher up until that point. Now the emurim were taken out of the azara. Nevertheless, that's still going to be im ola yer. Because the braisa that mentioned that it's kosher by a bama, we're not really learning from a bama, we're rather learning from the fact that it says zos Torah sa'ola, and therefore that anything that psula b'kodesh can stay on the mizbeach b'diavad, and that includes the case where the emurim were taken out. So we're not really learning davar shaloi b'hechsherei, the case where they were taken out of the azara, from davar b'hechsherei. Rather, we're learning it from the fact that it is included in Zos Torah Sa'olim. The fact that we mention a bama is only like an asmachta for it. It's not the real derivation of it, and we still have, therefore, that we're not actually learning Dabar Shaloi B'Hechsherei from Dabar B'Hechsherei. And therefore, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi's point still remains valid, that therefore we have no reason that we should think that Malika inside the Azara and Malika outside the Azara should be the same, and therefore that neither of them should be Matamah B'Gadim. No, we're not going to say that, because one of them is B'Hechsherei and the other one is not. Okay, so far then, that's what it ends up with so far. So the basic idea is, as we said in the Mishnah, that any time when it's psulei b'kodesh, subject to the various definitions of what that means, and it's not matamim begodim mebeis abliyah, and that includes, and in addition, also the various cases where it was shechted, it's never going to be matamim begodim mebeis abliyah, even if it is possible because it was chulin and it was shechted in the azara, or it was kodshim that was shechted inside or outside, all across the board, we're going to say those are not matamim begodim. The only case where it's matamim begodim is going to be where it has to be that there was malik in this context. Obviously, there are other cases that a bird can die and be subject to the stumma, but we're not dealing with those. Within what we're dealing with over here, in terms of zvachim, only if malika was done, and only if it was done in a way that's not psulei b'kodesh, and therefore that in ola yered, that even if it was put on the mizbeach, it has to be taken off. Those are the cases that are going to be the time of the b'beis abliyah, and earlier we had the machlokas about what if a zor did the malika. So now let's continue on this topic.
So everything that's done to him, Shere is Matame, basically. Everything
that's
done.
No, everything that's done to Shere is not Matame about him. No, because if the bird was done by Shere, if they did the Malika inside the Azara, it's not Matame about him. What we're talking about is where the Malika was done inside, however it was done in a way that in certain, so now it depends. What was done with it inside in terms of Malika, we're saying there are certain cases where it won't be matam of God, even though the korban is possible, such as we said, where it was done with the left hand or at night. But on the other hand, we said if it was a chulin bird, then it will be subject to trumas nevela. And in addition, also if the malika was done outside the azara, and a couple of other cases where the malika is possible for one reason or another, all the cases where even if we put it on the ubeah, we'll take it off afterwards.
So what about the? And so if it's done the hefshera, it is
matame begodim. We didn't even entertain that possibility. Rashi Ksav Yad explained because the third year in the Masechta we learned from a posuk that the kohenim was to eat the chatos of a bird, and by definition the chatos of a bird has had malika done to it.
Right.
So all we were saying in the last piece of it, you mentioned about hefshera and shalai hefshera, the Gemara was bothered by that in that case, if he does malika outside, we don't have this. The Braisa had told us you have to have an equality between inside and outside, which we learned from the word of Shreifa. But in the case of malika, you don't have that. The answer is that's different because the two malikas, inside and outside, are so different in that one of them is Be'achshere and one is not. When are we learning? It has to be the same across the board when both of them are posu. And then we can say, once we learn that one of them is not Matam of Godin, neither is the other.
It's not clear.
I'll try to clarify it one more time, but then we should get going. Here, the rule is going to be like this. When we're talking about two cases where the killing of the bird is possible, then we can say if one of them is inside the Azara and the other one is outside, and we can demonstrate that one of them is not in the Tampa Begadim, then we can say that based on what the Braisa is saying, the other one has to be the same thing. But if one of them is Be'achshere, is the kosher way of doing it, and the other one is not, then we don't care if they're not the same. Then you can very well have the one that's kosher is not metameh. Why should it be? It's kosher. And the other one can very well be metameh, and that doesn't violate the rule. Why? Because the rule is applying only between one and the other that are both posel, but one is inside the azara and the other is out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Better? Okay. Mishnah goes on. Moloch benimtzes treifa. What happens now? So they did malika inside the azara, the koyan with his right hand, the whole 9 yards. But it turns out the bird is treifa. Now, well, that you can't bring that bird as possible as a korban. But the question is it what happens to the matama begodim? What happens to this matama begodim? So Rav Meir Omer ain't a matame beis abliyah. Rav Meir says in that case, it will not be matame. It's not a kosher korban. Nevertheless, Rav Meir is going to learn, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, that nevertheless it's not matame. Rav Yehuda Omer matame. Rav Yehuda says it will be matame. Because the fact is, it's a treifa bird, and malika is not helping it, because it's not a kosher of carbon, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, the malika is not going to take that away. Rashi Tzavyad points out that Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, would argue also in the case where it was a cholin bird and was shechted. Here, just before, in the Gemara before, we were just saying that if it was shechted inside the Azara, it won't be Matam of Godim. Rashi Tzavyad says that would only be appointed a mayor. All that discussion that we just had before was appointed a mayor. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that. So the Mishnah continues. Amar Meir. So the Meir says, I'll demonstrate the validity of my opinion that it's not Batame, even though it's true. Im Nivlas Behema. Consider the nevela of a land animal. Now it has a stronger truma shematame b'magro v'masa, because unlike a dead kosher bird, unlike the nevela of a kosher bird, which was saying it's a tame a person only when he swallows it, a nivlas behema is the tame a person touches or carries it. So it's a stronger tumah. Nevertheless, shchitasa metaheres trefasim etumasa. Nevertheless, the mayor says, if you shech the animal, then the fact is, even though the animal is found to be trefa, the shchita prevents it from being a nevela, as the Gemara is going to show, and therefore it's not metame tumas nevela. In other words, in short, like this. You have, let's say, a cow. A cow dies without proper shita, whether it just dies naturally, whether it dies from something else, or whether the shita was botched, whatever, it doesn't really matter for our purpose, anything that's not a valid shita, then a pea of kezias, of that dead cow, will be metame a person if he touches or carries it. But what happens, you took the cow and gave it a proper shita, and then you opened it up and found there was a problem with the lungs or what have you. You still can't eat it, because it's trefa. But the difference is that a piece of that cow will now not be metame a person if he touches or carries it. So therefore, the mayor says, you see that shchita always helps, even when the animal was trefa. Well then, says Reb Meir, nivlas sa'oif, she'ena metame magro v'masa. Well then, a nivlas sa'oif, which is not metame a person who touches or carries it, because again, the only tuma that it has is when the person swallows it. Ain't a din, shouldn't it be a kavachover, should a shchitasim etaheres trefasim etumasa, that the shchita should prevent it from being matame, but that it should be, that the shchita should prevent it being matame, even if it's a trefa. Tosfos actually points out earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara could, at this point, we could easily shlug that up, fakir, because you have the truma of swallowing applies only to a bird and not to an animal, and therefore you could argue it's a fumra, but the truth is the Gemara is going to end up saying that this is not exactly where the mayor is learning it from anyway. But then right now, for purposes of discussion, this is using this kavachoymer to show it. So now he continues. Now, based on that kavachoymer, let's go further. Ma matzinu b'shchitosa chimachsharta la'achila. Now, consider, what happens if you shecht a bird, not a bird of kodshim, a regular chulin bird, and you shecht it? So then the same rule will apply as far as the animal, chimachsharta la'achila, which makes it kosher for eating, because how can you eat a bird only if you shecht it first? Metaheres trefasim etumasei. And as we just said, even if the bird turns out to be trefa, the fact that it was shechted prevents it from being metame tumas nevela. Achmali kosei shimachshar tibachila. Well then, Rav Meir says that let's derive by the same logic when it comes to a korban where the proper way of killing it is not shchita but rather malika, and that makes it mutter to eat. The same thing, tatahara trefasei migay tumasei, then it should be matahara, that even if the bird is trefa, that it shouldn't be matahara anymore, that it shouldn't be matame anymore. So in other words, the logic is like this. The mayor is first using a kavachomer from an animal to a bird, that an animal has a stronger tumor, and nevertheless shchita takes away the tumor, even if the animal is trefa and otherwise also to eat. And the same thing is true by a bird. So how much more so by a bird, because a bird has a lesser tumor. So then, by a mamatzinu, we're going to say, well, a regular chulin bird is killed by shchita, and that makes it mutter to eat. A korban is killed by malika, and that makes it mutter to eat. So the malika of a bird, of a kodshim, should have the same effect as shchita of a bird of cholin, which in turn will have the same effect as shchita of an animal of cholin, and make it that even though it's a trefa, it won't be matami. So that's Reb Meir's logic. And we'll see in the Gemara that it doesn't work quite so well, and therefore really actually Reb Meir is going to end up learning it from a different posse. But then the Mishnah finishes off, Rabbi Yossi Omer. So far we have three opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind that whole logic. The logic is anyway flawed, as we're going to see in the Gemara. And even if the bird had a proper malika, as long as it turns out to be trefa and it's not a kosher korban, then it's metame. So everything that we talked about before about Malika Bifnim not being Metameh in certain cases is going to be only appointed a mayor. So the mayor is going to say the Malika is Metameh no matter what, even if it's a Treifa. Now, a third opinion, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, fine, listen, Rabbi Meir, you have a valid point, but you're learning from a Kavachomer. Daya Kenivlas Behema. After all, you're going to learn a Kavachomer. You can't make the thing you're learning to stronger than what you're learning from. This is the principle called Daya. We're going to discuss it in the Gemara. So therefore, it's enough to say that it should be like Nivlas Behema. Well, by a behema, shritasim etaharat avalemeli kasa. Well, by an animal, what makes it kosher? What makes it kosher to eat? And what is it that takes away the tumas nevela? Only shrita. They don't do malika by an animal. So therefore, it's enough. So fine, you want to say you learn from an animal to a bird. Fine, I can accept that, says Rabbi Yossi. But in that case, all you can learn is shchita. You can't learn malika, because malika doesn't apply to an animal, and therefore you don't have a basis. You want to say by mamoth sinu, we're going to say just like shchita by a holen bird makes it mutter, the same way malika has the same effect by a kochim bird. No, Rabbi Yossi says they already have to apply dayoi. And you can't extend the kavachomer that far. Well, that's what you want to ask. But a mayor like Dorish Dayoi, so what would a mayor answer to that? Does he not agree? Does he not hold the concept of Dayoi? For Dayoi Daraisa. The concept of Dayoi is Daraisa. And a mayor certainly can't disagree with that. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Midin Kavachomer Ketzad. How does a Kavachomer work? Now we have it like this. Every day we say the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel that lists the Yud Gimel Midas. Each of the Yud Gimel Midas, the Braisa goes on and gives an example of it. And each one of them also has sub-rules that are not included in the Yud Gimel. So a sub-rule of Kavachomer is the concept of Dayoi. So the Braisa explains how does Kavachomer work and how does Dayoi work. We find at the end of Parshas Baalos, so Miriam has spoken against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she gets Sanas, and Moshe davens to Hashem, Kel no Rafon Allah. So Vayomer Hashem on Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, "V'avia Yorek b'fanav u'gomer." Suppose her father had spit in her face. In other words, if she had insulted her father and he had reacted negatively by spitting in her face and saying that he's angry at her for how she treated him. So then the pasuk goes on to say, "Halosi kolim shivas yomim." She should have to be humiliated for 7 days. So that's a kavachoy. So kavachomer the shchina ba'as yoyim. A kavachomer then that for the shchina, for insulting the shchina, which in effect she did, because even though she was speaking against Moshe, implicitly she was insulting Hashem by claiming that Hashem doesn't know that Moshe is the same as every other navi, and Hashem explains to them that Moshe is not; he's different than every other navi. But she insulted Hashem. Kavachomer the shchina ba'as yoyim. A kavachomer that if she insulted Hashem, she should be in disgrace for 14 days. Why? So Tosfos over here and in a number of other places explains what the logic is. First of all, we know that one point is that the Shechina, that Hashem has double as much of the contribution to a baby as each of the parents. We know that there's three partners in making a baby: the father, the mother, and Hashem. The Gemara explains in Nida that the father gives five things towards the baby. The mother, the father's sperm produces five things in the baby. The mother's egg produces another five, and Hashem gives the baby 10 features. So therefore, Hashem gives twice as much as either of the parents, and therefore, if we're saying that if she insulted her father, she'd have to be in disgrace for 7 days, so Hashem will contribute twice as much. It should be twice as much. And then Tosfos gives another explanation, is that, you know what, we really ought to say for insulting Hashem, there should be no limit to how long the punishment should last. But because we do find by Metzorah that you have maximum 2 weeks, so therefore by her also we would say maximum 2 weeks. Tosfos actually points out in that case it doesn't completely work, because by Masurda the maximum is 13 days, because the seventh day counts as the seventh day of the first cycle and also the first day of the second cycle. But nevertheless, the Pasuk uses the expression, Shivas Yomim, and therefore, so we're mentioning seven plus another seven would be 14 days. In any case, the point is that Hashem is saying that Kavachomer should tell us that she ought to be in disgrace for 14 days. However, Ella Daya, Levomen Adin, Lias Kenodan. However, Daya, it's enough that what we're learning from a Kavachomer should be as strong as what we're learning from. Therefore, since we're learning from a human father, where it's 7 days, therefore Hashem says, even though the Kavachomer ought to tell us longer, but Daya tells us to reduce it back down to 7 days. Therefore, Hashem continues and tells Moshe, so Miriam will continue to have Tzaras for 7 days, and then she'll be healed, and then she can return to normal life. So we see from all of that that dayo is a principle d'oraisa, because Hashem himself is using it to reduce the time of Miriam's punishment. So how can Reb Meir disagree with that and say that we can learn something from a kavachomer that wasn't in the original, namely that malika should work by a bird? So the answer is, I'm going to be Yisim Bura Abavim. Reb Meir kra ashtach the kadosh. Really, what it is Reb Meir found a posuk and darshin to say that malika should help by a trefer, by a bird that was trefer, to save it from Tumas Nevela. Namely, the pasuk says, after it lists all of the kosher and non-kosher birds and animals and whatnot, it finishes off, Zois Torah HaBehemah V'Oif. This is the Torah of the animal and the bird. So we have to ask, Torah suggests that it's one Torah for both of them. But we have to ask, V'chid V'ezer Torah, Shavsa V'Hemah L'Oif V'Oif L'Behemah. What area of Torah is there where a bird and an animal are the same kind of thing? Behema Matama Magor Masa, Oifena Matama Magor Masa. A dead animal is metame, a person who touches and carries it. A dead bird is not. And vice versa. Oif metame begodim abeis ablia, behema enim metame begodim abeis ablia. And if you're talking about the struma of swallowing, only a bird has it, not an animal. So what is the case where the pasuk is implying that there's a similarity between behema and oif? Tosfos points out, actually, that in Chulin, the Gemara uses it to learn that birds have to be shechted. And just like animals are shechted at the neck, so are birds. However, Tosfos says we still have ein hekesh lematza. When we have a hekesh, if not by halves, it has to be a complete hekesh, and therefore, if we're making a hekesh between behemah and oif, it's true the hekesh tells us about that they need shchita and the place of the shchita, but we can also learn a similarity that they have as far as hilchos tumah v'tahara, says Reb Meir. So what does it mean? Ela loy malach. Rather, the pasuk is telling you ma behema davash machshir laachila melaachila matayr shefasim metumasa. Just like by behema, the action that makes it mutter to eat, namely shechting it, makes it that if the animal was shefer, nevertheless it doesn't have the tumas nevela anymore. Af oif davash machshir laachila matayr shefasim metumasa. The same way by a bird, the action that makes it mutter to eat, namely by cholin, that would be shchita, and by kodshim, that would be malika. That's Reb Meir's point over here. We'll make it that even if it was trefa, it won't be matami. So therefore, Reb Meir is not learning from a kavachomer, and we can slug him up with dayoy. He's learning from a hekesh, and we have a concept called ein meshivin al a hekesh. You cannot slug up a hekesh even if you argue that there's a dissimilarity between them. So the Sfas Emes wonder is then why did the Meir even bother bringing the Kavachoyma if he's not actually learning in it? So one point of the answer is that actually what's printed as regular Rashi is that he still does partially use the Kavachoyma. He does use the Kavachoyma at least to learn about the similarity between Shchita and Malika. Or rather, we use the kavachomer to show that the shchita of a bird will be matirat from treifa. So therefore, so he is at least learning something from the kavachomer, the Sfas Emes says he might be saying, you of Yehuda are not darshaning this hekesh, at least you should agree that if bird is shechted and it was treifa, it turns out to not be matame, at least we should use the kavachomer for that. So, Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to all of that? He says, Rabbi Yehuda, my time, and why does Rabbi Yehuda say differently? So the reason is, because Rabbi Yehuda also has a pasuk that he can dash in. The pasuk says, when it talks about this concept of Niblas Oiftar, it says Nevela or Trefa. We discussed in Amar Aleph that it mentions that the bird is Nevela or Trefa. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda explains, Trefa Loma Nemra, why does it say in the pasuk the word Trefa? In treifa chaya, because you have to consider what happens with a treifa when an animal or a bird becomes treifa. It gets one of the conditions which we'll learn about in Masechta Chulin, Bez Hashem, a few months from now that make it treifa. What is the underlying definition then? We can say treifa chaya. It can be that a treifa is still considered alive, and a treifa may actually live a long and healthy life. At the beginning of Perek Elu Trefus in Chulin, where it just deals with all the dinim of Trefa, you have an opinion there that says and that a treifa can continue to live normally. You have xeris hakostim that there are certain kinds of things that make an animal treifa and you can't eat it. But it's not like the animal is necessarily going to die in the next few days or weeks or months. It can live, it can still live a long life with these conditions. So if you say that, then it's alive. Well, then in that case, of course, it's not matama until it's dead. So then, hare nevela amura. Well, it says nevela. So then, in that case, when the animal dies, it's going to be matama and not before that. The im treifa ain't a chaya, and if you're going to say a treifa will not live long, and as soon as it became a treifa, as soon as it develops one of these conditions, it's already considered dead. Hare b'chal nevela, well then it's already in the category of nevela. So what is the pasuk adding with the word treifa? Elo, Rabbi Yehuda says, lahavi treifa shashach d'shematama. Therefore, it comes to include the case where the animal or bird was treifa, and you shechted it, and nevertheless it's still matame because that's what we learned from the word of treifa. So that's how he would learn. That's how he would learn that a treifa that was shechted is still matame. That's Rashi's explanation, basically. We don't mean, in other words, that you have to wait until it's dead. You would say that when it's treifa, then already it's matame. Tosfos has some questions about it, even if you say treifa and achaya. The fact is, right now the animal is alive, and we don't find that it should be matame right now. There are certain rare cases where the animal was injured in such a way that it's already considered dead because it's going to die like in the next few minutes, but otherwise not. So Tosfos explains, let's say, for example, we could say treifa ain't achaya. We could mean, let's say, if a person took off a piece of meat from an animal that was treifa and ate it. So harei b'chal nevela, then already it's considered, like if you're going to say that, treifa ain't achaya, then it would be considered like he took a meat off of a dead animal and it's matame, even though the animal itself is not matame, because it's alive, but nevertheless this would be considered a dead piece of flesh, and therefore it would be matame. And Tosfos goes on to discuss that for another angle on that. It can mean if a treifa is already alive and he took off a kazayas meat on it, then we would say he's already over on the issur of nevela. And otherwise, it says after nevela he wouldn't be over. And if you say treifa and achaya, then he would be over on the issur of nevela. Tosfos doesn't really like that explanation. But the point is, in other words, that we're saying that so Rabbi Yehuda is saying ultimately, why does it take treifa and the posse is to teach us a treifa that was shechted is still going to be matame. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda learns from. So again, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda each have a pasuk that supports their opinion, and therefore Rabbi Meir is learning from his pasuk that there's a similarity between a behema and an oif, namely that each one, the action that makes it kosher to eat, also saves it from tumas nevela. So shchita by an animal, shchita by a chulin bird, malika by a korban bird, and therefore the mayor holds that it'll help across the board. Rabbi Yehuda, meanwhile, has his pasuk from nevela or treifa, where he says that we can learn that from the word treifa that it means that even a treifa that was shechted is still matami. But omelet of shifi, but that was Rabba's. So the Gemara, as we have printed in front of us, doesn't say who said this explanation. It just says, my time, akro ashkech l'dorash. Shita Mukubet says, add that it's supposed to say, Omer Rabba, because now Rav Shizvi is asking Rabba. So Elamayat, so by that logic, you're telling me this is how Rabbi Yehuda is learning. The Pasuk mentions in connection with Chelev. The Pasuk is the Chelev Nevela, the Chelev Trefa. The Chelev of an animal that was Nevela or Trefa, you're allowed to use it for work, you're just not allowed to eat it. So Hosam Nami Nema Im Trefa Chaya Hare Nevela Amurav Im Trefa In Chaya Hare Bechal Nevela. Are you going to say the same thing that the Torah is mentioning Trefa? And it doesn't need to mention it because one way or the other, treifa is somehow in the category of nevela, either because it's not going to live and therefore it's included, it is already nevela, or it's going to live and nevertheless it's still in the category, and then the pasuk is saying only nevela, and saying nevela, that the chelev is tahor. And the fact is, when it comes to chelev, there's no difference between a nevela and a treifa. So they are also, the Torah says nevela or treifa, and yet we're not making a distinction. And yet we're not saying we're learning anything from treifa. So why over here would we say, why over here would Rabbi Yehuda think to learn from treifa, to learn this din that you're saying? Ella, what do we actually learn from the word shefa? Lahavi shefa sheshachta shechel batar. We learn from it that even if an animal was shefa and it was shechted, the chelav of it remains tahor. When the pasuk says yosa l'chol malacha, that the chelav can be used for any work, that's as much as to say it's not matame. Because if it was matame, then you wouldn't necessarily be able to use it for work because depending on the circumstances, the person sometimes has to remain tahor. So that's what we're learning from the word shefa. So then, by the same logic, we call the hiyatim matama. So that would imply fakir. It means that the animal as a whole is matame, and only the chevel is tahor. But is that so? Va'amr of Yehuda amar Rav, va'amr of Masnisa Tana. But didn't Rav Yehuda say in the name of Rav, or others say we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says about the truma of nevela of an animal, v'chiyomus min abehema, if there dies from the animals, now the word min is a mute. Miktas behema matama, or miktas behema ena matama. Some kinds of animals are matame when they're dead, and some are not. The ezuzu, what is the kind that is not matame? Zu trefa sheshachta, a trefa animal that you shechted. So we know therefore that a trefa that was shechted is not matame as nevela. So now the Torah didn't need to tell us by its chelav that it's not matame. If the animal as a whole is not matame, certainly its chelav is not. Ela trefa miboilei l'mu'uti tshmeya, rather the word trefa must be to exclude the case of chelav of a tshmeya, of a tamei animal. And we would learn, mi sheyesh b'mina trefa, only an animal of the species to which the concept of trefa applies, namely kosher animals, whether the difference between whether they're trefa or not, is what the Torah is saying, that the chelav is not matami. And that even if the animal died without shita, then the chelav is still not matami. Yotzazu, as opposed to a non-kosher species, she'im aminit trefa, where the concept of trefa doesn't apply to them at all. So therefore the whole animal, chelav and all, is metame. So therefore, Rav Shizbi finishes off his question. So far we see from the word trefa, we're learning that by an animal, we're learning to exclude a non-kosher bird, a non-kosher species, hochanami. Well, then by the bird also. Say that the word trefa means that it comes to exclude from this din of nivas oif, it comes to include exclude a non-kosher species to which the whole concept of trefa doesn't apply. So how is Rabbi Huda instead using that to say that if the bird is trefa and you shechted it, it still remains tame, we should learn the same way as we do by the chelav of an animal, that it means that all it's telling us is that the carcass of a non-kosher bird is not matame in this way, of a non-kosher species of bird is not matame in this way when he swallows it, but if the bird was trefa and was shechted, then it does take away the truma. So why don't we learn like that? So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. Beis Hashem, the Gemara is going to start by answering that Rabbi Yehuda actually does agree to that concept, but he learns that from a different word. He learns that from the word nevela rather than trefa. So therefore, he has the word trefa available, and therefore he can use it to teach us that even if the bird is trefa, nevertheless, if it was shechted, because it's trefa, nevertheless it's still matame with the tumah of nivlas oif tahor. So we'll continue that discussion, and we'll continue working out the three different opinions in our Mishnah about what happens with this nivlas, what happens with this bird again that Malika was done to and turned out to be trefa. Is it matame or not? Where again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is. According to the Meir, it's not. And according to Rabbi Yosi, if it was shechted, it's not matame. And if it was Malika was done, it is. So we'll continue discussing and work out all the details of those on Dafayim, Beis Hashem.
What's the argument of Rabbi Yehuda, why he says it's matame? What's he basing it from?
Well, that's what we're saying so far, Rabbi Yehuda. So first we had in the Mishnah, the mayor was bringing a kavachomer, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept that kavachomer, especially, first of all, the kavachomer is broken down by diary. But second of all, also we're saying in the Gemara over here at this point, first Rabbi had given an answer that Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the pasuk nevela utrefa. So Rav Shizbi's problem with that was that the word utrefa we should be using for a different limud, namely that this concept of nivas oif applies only to kosher species and not non-kosher species. So the answer is going to be that Rabbi Yehuda does agree to that, but he learns that from a different pasuk. Therefore, he has the word trefa available, and therefore he can use the word trefa to teach us that even if the brood was shefted because it's treifer, because it turns out to be treifer, nevertheless it's still matami.
Because the word is unused.
Because the word treifer is otherwise unused, and therefore we can use it for that derasha, yeah.